Okay, so yes, don't these dog treats, by the way, look like human food? I almost ate one accidentally. I know it has dogs on it, but
it does look like the Gouda part for sure. Yeah.
Right? And then
welcome
on the back,
to Highly Questionable, where Mina Kimes can't decipher human food from dog food just because it says Gouda on it. That's Mina Kimes. That's Sarah Spain. It's Gouda, Mina. Gouda, not good.
Guys, it's Gouda to see you both.
Let's do a show.
Oh, boy.
Are the Knicks just a good story, or do you actually believe in them?
Ah, the New York Knicks, one of the NBA's best stories every year, whether they're good or bad, have now won 8 in a row. They are fourth in the Eastern Conference. Now, the skeptic would say they needed overtime and a Trae Young injury to beat Atlanta and get their way to that number 4 seed, but they're there. And I know the skeptics are already going to be there. There's one to each side of me right now, and they're about to give their opinions. But, and I'll say this at the beginning here, you don't have to be a championship contender to be relevant. The idea of being for real doesn't mean are you going to end up in the NBA Finals. This Knicks team is a good team. It's a relevant team. It's a team that has an identity. They're top 5 in defensive rating. It's a team that has a star in Julius Randle. And last night, he was the first New York Knick to have a 40-10-5 game on 50-40-90 shooting. And I know that's a very specific statistic, and it's just for one game, but you've got a very good player, a sort of refined bull in a china shop in Julius Randle and quality pieces around him. So in terms of ceiling, I still think the Knicks are second round at best, but they're at the highest in the ranking that they've been in the standings that they've been since prime Carmelo in 2013. This is absolutely something to celebrate if you're a Knicks fan. Just know that your ceiling is not championship. You are working your way there.
I think they know that. I mean, right? Like, we all know that the Knicks aren't actual contenders. They are a playoff team. And yeah, they could absolutely win a first round series against like Atlanta. They're an incredible story. The tenacity, the grit, they're well coached, they play great defense. RJ Barrett has improved as a shooter. Derrick Rose is making meaningful contributions. Julius Randle, I know it's a cliche that I always bring it back to football, but he's having a Josh Allen-like season. Like what he is doing, having gone from shooting under 30% from three to over 40%, no one's done that. That is incredible. But while they do rank in the top 5 in defense, they rank in the bottom 10 in offense. So no, I don't see them getting out of the East, but I do see them making some noise.
Mina said we know that they know that, and we don't know that because Knicks fans are renowned for their delusions. It's always that MSG will be the thing that's going to bring the next superstar to town and that they are always a story even when they're terrible, and those are the reasons that people get snarky about the Knicks, and that's usually the angle I take. I would say something like lowered expectations, right? If you're the Knicks, you think that this is like the greatest thing that's ever happened to any team ever when in fact you're just middle of the East playoff team that's probably going to get bounced in the second round. That being said, as someone who comes from a place that gets a lot of coverage and has a lot of great history as a team, despite not doing anything meaningful in recent years, I understand very much what they're going through because it mirrors something that happened in Chicago a number of years ago when Tom Thibodeau showed up. It was work hard, play good defense, scrappy guys, gritty players, guys you want to root for, a real enthusiasm around a team that's perhaps outperforming expectations. Heck, I'm excited about the Bulls this year just being remotely relevant and in the playoff chase, and they're not even very good because that's what happens when your team sucks for so long. So I'm not going to be snarky. I'm excited for Knicks fans. I'm excited that they're rooting for a team that's actually worth talking about. But Mina, we don't have any idea what they're thinking. We never have any idea what they're thinking. In fact, they probably do think they're going to win a title. And then somehow Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, Kevin Durant, they're all going to show up in New York next year because it's still
Let me show you, Mina. Let me show you how they're going to do this, okay? They're just going to look to last year. And they're going to say the Miami Heat. Did anybody expect the Miami Heat to make a run to the finals? How did they do it? They defended. Mm-hmm. They had a great coach. They had three-point shooters. And the Knicks, while, you know, offensively are down, they had 19 threes last night. They could surprise you with some shooting, you know, between Bullock and Randle and Quickly. They can surprise you with some shooting. So, yes, that's the justification Knicks fans are going to have. And, frankly, it's not that crazy.
Ooh, Izzy's sold.
Can I just point out that Sarah made it about Chicago, Izzy made it about Miami, and I made it about football? Like, we are all characters of ourselves.
Are the Lakers back?
Well, Anthony Davis is back. He's back tonight, and he's limited to about 15 minutes a game for his first couple of games, and he'll slowly work his way to normal minutes. LeBron James reportedly is still a couple of weeks away from returning from his high ankle sprain. Now, the Lakers have gone 14 and 16 without those two in the lineup, and they've sort of maintained their position in the, at least outside of the play-in tournament. They're still a good three games ahead of Portland there, but they're 2.5 games back of fourth place Denver, and it just makes you wonder, with only Anthony Davis coming back right now in his limited minutes, can they actually catch Denver, get that home court advantage in that first round? That doesn't even seem possible. So if you just sort of settle in here and say, okay, the Lakers are probably going to be a five seed, whether or whenever they get LeBron James and Anthony Davis back, they'll probably have to go through Denver, through either Phoenix or Utah, and then get to the conference finals. That does not seem super overwhelming if you're the Lakers, right? Nobody's really scared of Utah. Nobody's really scared of Phoenix. And now with Jamal Murray out, nobody's really scared of Denver. So it makes you wonder if the Lakers are just saying, hey, AD's back. We know LeBron's going to get back from his ankle injury and be his usual self come playoff time. We probably are back once the playoffs start, because I don't think there's anybody out there that says, hey, we're definitely afraid of you, not even the Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was going to say. I don't know if you need to even pick the teams that they would be aiming for in the postseason to be worried about or not. I think the point for the Lakers is, if we're healthy and we have both of our big guys, we're fine. The only questions we had about the Lakers this offseason were about depth and kind of replacing some of the players that support the big two. And the biggest one was just rest. The bubble season going so late, the offseason being so short, the only thing that we thought could get in the way of this Lakers team was their own physical ability to come back and do it all over again. They've been sort of silver lining helped by these injuries, because it's built in load management and rest for two guys that might not have been willing to sit out for much time. Now, you have to add in the fact that we didn't know at the time early on in the offseason that the Nets super team was coming together. And there are certain aspects of other teams that certainly give you pause if you're trying to consider the Lakers an overall favorite with nothing in their way. But the thing for me that was mostly in their way is whether or not they could stay healthy enough to be at 100% in the postseason. And this built-in rest may be exactly what they needed. I'm not really worried about when you put them back out on the court together, if they can gel or if they're rusty. It's LeBron James and Anthony Davis. The only thing that I'm worried about is when he said he could feel a rip in his leg and it was a partial Achilles tear. I'm not going to get into diagnosing anything because I'm not a doctor, but the last time we heard about someone getting out there with a sensitive Achilles, it was Kevin Durant, and I don't even want to put that out in the universe, and I just did. So good luck to Anthony Davis and his return.
Okay, first of all, I want to focus on something Izzy said, which is really the tone with which you said Utah and Phoenix. The Mountain West disrespect. I think they're technically both in the same weird time zone. That's sometimes a time zone, but it's not a time zone. Did you see what Phoenix did to Philadelphia last night? Why do we continue to insist on not talking about this team, even though they're arguably the most balanced team in the NBA? Okay, that said, if LeBron James is healthy, and that's an if, by the way, because while Anthony Davis said he's back, LeBron, his timeline is still indefinite. We last heard he is doing light work. Light work can mean a lot of things. It can mean jogging. It can mean joining a Zoom meeting with your camera off while you shop on the internet. I'm not speaking from experience. I am just throwing out hypotheticals. If LeBron James is back and Anthony Davis is back, I still pick them to get out of the West, but not easily. Phoenix is for real. Utah is for real. Shame on you, East Coaster bias.
Yeah, you know what? I will take that. I will wear South that, but I will still bias. Say it, because nobody is picking Phoenix or Utah. And we're going to go into the playoffs, Mina, and nobody is going to pick Phoenix or Utah. So the prove me wrong element of this is going to actually have to play out in order for me to change my tone. But going back to something else that Sarah said is, man, the NBA must feel, and the Lakers, frankly, but the NBA must feel so lucky that it was a partial tear of that Achilles or whatever it was that Anthony Davis felt, because they would have been the picture of, the poster boy for, hey, these seasons were too close together, too many games for these guys, and now we have our one of our best players, our top five players, out for the season with yet another Achilles tear.
Well, it's already happening.
Super lucky on this one.
I mean, it's already happening across the league, and so many people are pointing to these season-ending injuries and serious injuries as games that are too compressed together and too short of an offseason. I don't know how you fix that. This was an untenable circumstance from the beginning, but you're right. It would have added to a list that would have been pretty bad for this season.
Up next on HQ.
Well, Nick Sirianni would like you because you're clearly competitive. All right, ready? Let's do this. Rock, paper, scissors.
Do you question if this was the most impressive missed shot you've ever seen?
Well, the Phoenix Suns, who Mina did not have coming out of the Western Conference, we should make perfectly clear after calling me an East Coast bias representative, they beat the 76ers by 3 points. Joel Embiid, however, almost tied it on this shot right here, which is just becoming known as the greatest missed shot anyone has ever seen.
I mean, oh my goodness.
It was in.
It's halfway in.
Halfway in, three quarters of the court.
Oh my God, watch it. Look at the net. Oh, that shook.
Now, as amazing as that is, it is my, so this the most memorable miss I can remember is Gordon Hayward against Duke, Butler versus Duke. In the NBA, this is easily the most memorable missed shot. And yes, it's impressive and all that, but can we watch this again? And can we just talk about like coaching and time and score and like Cameron Johnson there in the box, like just stand next to him, man. Why are you backing up? Why is he backing up? If he just stands next to Embiid with his hands in the air and says, okay, then he will be a detriment. He will not get that shot off.
How is that your takeaway, your primary takeaway from that shot? Even Devin Booker, like, his team just won, and instead of celebrating, he looked at Embiid like, holy bleep, dude, that almost went in.
If he would have made that shot, Mina, Cameron Johnson from the Suns would have had nightmares, especially if they went on and lost it in overtime. Nightmares, just because all he had to do was get into the lane and do this. Don't walk away, man. Get into the lane and do this. And as for why this is my take, it's about 2:45 Eastern time. This shot's been talked about all day long. That's what I've seen that nobody else has talked about. Cameron Johnson, you got lucky there.
And for good reason, Izzy. For good reason.
You can't get near Embiid there. He's the biggest flopper in the league.
Yes, that's what I was saying.
Like, you foul him on that three-pointer.
That is literally what you're asking for, like, someone to, like, rough the passer on a Hail Mary, basically.
Yeah.
Again, bring it back to football, but
I can do it for the remainder of the show and show you how easy it is.
Do it, Izzy.
I'm glad I don't have sweat stains.
Do it.
You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have said that, because now you got to do it.
Do you question if Portland State is going to be a mentally tough basketball team?
Well, this is Portland State's new men's basketball coach, Jace Coburn, and he apparently is a little bit old school, kind of like me with defensive principles, when it comes to how he wants his players to play. Take a listen.
The other thing is I'm hungry and passionate. I don't eat breakfast in the morning so I can come to work hungry. So when I get
literally
to lunch, I'm hungry. And that's just the kind of person I am. I know my 2003 Chevy Tahoe's got a lot of play this week so far.
Oh boy.
But like,
what?
It doesn't have AC. And it doesn't have heat. And the reason I do that is so I can practice my mental toughness during the winter when it's cold, and I can practice my mental toughness during the summer when it's hot. That's the type of person I am.
Yeah, when I see a car from 2003 with the windows down, I just think this guy's broke and I should probably give him a little bit of money. I also think immediately of Denzel Washington in the movie, remember The Titans, where he said water is for cowards, it's for the weak, and it's absolutely insane for a coach to be saying these things in 2021. But hey, Portland State, you guys got something ahead of you.
Guys, I just looked up try hard in the dictionary, and it was just a picture of Jace.
No.
I
thought you were gonna say like, me with my hands up.
That too, of course. Yeah, that was the secondary definition. You know, it's the thing is, like, I don't want to make this too serious, but freezing in a car on the way to a game or overheating is not going to make you a better coach. It's certainly not going to make any of the players better. And what I see when I see this is such intense insecurity that you need to do this sort of prop performative stuff instead of just showing up and being someone who motivates and knows how to coach.
Nice brief take there, Sarah. Mina, a little briefer?
I want to make this long. Just keep those hands up, Izzy. Yeah, I just think it's funny because he's like trying to do this hard-o thing, but like what he's describing, skipping breakfast, keeping the AC really low, that's just a diet, dude. Like, yeah. You're like one juice cleanse away from being a woman out here in LA. Yep. People do that
it's
all the time.
Just intermittent fasting and sauna. That's really it. That's all he's doing.
Tonight at 7 p.m. Eastern, Pelicans and Magic.
Well, you've got to watch the Pelicans these days because Zion Williamson is showing off the full skill set on the floor. Stan Van Gundy letting him be a point guard out there. Off the floor, apparently, he can do whatever he wants, too, like go on Club Shay Shay with Shannon Sharp.
Let's just say, for the sake of argument, Zion, you have stuck with football and not done the basketball thing. Do you believe you could have made it to the NFL as an NFL player?
Yeah, I believe I could. Yeah, I believe I could. I'm just a competitor.
Yeah. So, hold on. So, what are you going to play? You're going to be a wide receiver. You're going to be a tight end. You're going to be a defensive lineman. You're going to be an offensive lineman.
Oh, man. I don't even know.
Your personality, I would think you're going to want the ball. offensive lineman don't really get the ball, so you might have to be a tight end or something. Maybe a defensive lineman. I can see you on the defensive line.
I think I would need to do tight end or receiver, one of those two.
Well, I'm not sure if anybody who's ever watched Zion probably hadn't already thought to themselves, man, that guy would be amazing on the football field. So I don't think this is brand new information, but it's good to hear him talk about it. Sarah, are you intrigued?
Yeah, I'm intrigued. I mean, he did say he was a competitor. So now I want to know, like, what would be his strategy for rock, paper, scissors? That's, like, my best way of gauging competitiveness. Also, I want to know, like, is he someone who could keep his arms upright for more than 2 to 3 minutes? That's also another gauge of, you know, what kind of athlete somebody is. Yeah, very intrigued. Would love to see him out there. More so a tight end than a wide receiver, I think. But if that guy were coming at you either to block or run a route or catch anything, I think I would just get the hell out of the way.
I think it was more PTSD from third grade when Miss Harrison used to make me stand outside holding books whenever I was not paying attention until my shoulders hurt and I started crying. Maybe that's what got me into all the working out. Hey, Mina, are you intrigued?
I don't think teachers do that anymore. Yeah, Zion Williamson, he is built like a football player. He has Julius Peppers' body. And quick story, I did a piece on Zion before he entered the NBA. I went to Spartanburg, where he's from, talked to his coaches and teachers. And where he would play basketball as a high school kid in Spartanburg, South Carolina at Wofford College, that's where the Carolina Panthers train. So while he was hooping as a kid, Panthers players and coaches used to walk over and watch him and be like, that kid should be playing football. What's happening? But his high school actually was so small, it didn't have a football team. Wow. And that is partially why we are blessed with Zion, the basketball player, even though everyone in the NFL has fantasized about him playing in the NFL as well.
And yet somehow there were people who thought he was just a gimmick because he was playing against tiny players in high school. When you've got NFL players crossing the street saying, wow, that kid's amazing. That's all the time we have left for today. Mina's got to walk Lenny. You can catch her on NFL Live. You can catch her on the Mina Kimes Show featuring Lenny. And you can catch Sarah Spain on That's What She Said. That's her great podcast. I'm Israel Gutierrez. You can just catch me on Around the Horn.